Hello, hello, and welcome back to our Finding Better podcast. My name is John Suzuki, and I am your host. And this is a place where you can come to learn about other people's experiences and wisdom in what they've done in their lives to find better. So maybe you can use some of those lessons that they learned and apply them to your own life. It's a very, very cool place. And I have an amazingly cool person joining me today, and I couldn't be happier. We are going to talk about my favorite subject. And the topic is love. We're going to talk about love. Now, don't hang up. we're going to have a fun conversation. And you know what? This is one of those conversations that folks just don't have enough of. And so I want to introduce you to Kim Sorrell. Kim, welcome to Finding Better. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you for having me.
Okay, so if you're on our YouTube channel, you can see in Kim's background a book, and she wrote a book called Love Is, and we're going to talk about that. So, Kim, what does love mean to you?
You know, I think love means different to me after spending a year trying to figure out what it is, and I would say what love means to me is that it's who you are. It's who you decide to be. How you decide to live love is up to you. But love is all encompassing. It is walking, talking, living, breathing, doing. It is who you are. It is your essence. Love is who you are.
I love it. I love it. And you said that you went on a journey. You went on a journey to find love. Now, that's really interesting because 99.9999 infinite numbers of nines of people will say, I know what love is. What is the big deal? So what was it? What happened? What happened? And how did you find yourself on this journey?
Well, it's kind of an interesting thing. I was diagnosed with cancer. And 4 months later, my husband was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. Oh. And he passed away 6 weeks after that. And I still had to get through my cancer stuff, and I'm here to talk about it. So obviously I'm doing great, but I lost my husband, my love, my man, wow. You know, my partner. And I wasn't sure what life was going to bring, but I knew that I had to honor this man every way that I could, because he was a great husband, just a great dad, a great person.
Oh, and I'm so sorry.
Yeah, well, thank you. Thank you. It's been a while. It's been 15 mm-hmm. years. So, and you get to pick how you want to live, right? And I choose to live with joy and not wallow in what could be, but celebrate what is. And but I wanted to make sure I was doing life right. And I look at the word love, and I think you're right. People have an answer, but I think if you put 15 people in a room, you probably get 15 different answers to what is
right.
love.
Yeah.
And so it's this age old question that doesn't seem to be answered. And I thought, well, might as well be me that figures out what love is. And so that's why
that.
I decided to do it.
I love that. And you know, it is so true. It is so true. You know, I was on an interview with NBC in Seattle one day. And they asked me, you know, and it was about my book called American Grit. And they asked me
great
at
book,
the end of
by
the
way, great book. Everybody
oh.
should buy this book. It's a great book.
Thank you. And they asked me, you know, what do you want to come of this? And I told them, I said, you know what? I said, we're in a world now where we're being divided. I call it the bucketizing of the world, where we have the whites buckets, the blacks buckets, the Christian buckets, the Muslim buckets, the gay buckets, the straight, every bucket you can think of. And we're being categorized into these buckets. And I said, and you know, we have to stop putting ourselves into these buckets and assuming that we know people or we know how to treat people based on whatever bucket they happen to be put in, and just bring a little more love into the world. Just bring a little more love into the world. And I love what you just said about how love is means something different for different people. And so you went to Haiti. So tell us a little bit about that part of your journey.
Well, I've been in the nonprofit world for a lot of years. I'm an entrepreneur, but I've done both for profit and not for profit. And when I was able to go physically able to go back to work. I wasn't sure if I was going to go back into my businesses that I had somebody running and things were going smooth, or if I was going to jump back into the nonprofit world. And so I decided I was going to take it slow. And I started as part-time bookkeeper for an organization that did a lot of work in Haiti. And it was January 1 of that year. And 12 days later, there was an earthquake in Haiti that killed over 200,000 people.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Yeah. So within 2 weeks, I was boots on the ground. And I was in Haiti a lot. And so that's where I decided to take this love journey.
Wow. So, wow. I mean, going to a country like Haiti is one thing. Going to a country like Haiti right after a gigantic earthquake that destroyed everything, what was that like? And what did you learn from that process?
Well, it was absolutely heart-wrenching, of course. You know, there's so many people. I don't know if there is a Haitian alive that didn't lose somebody close to them.
Oh.
And you know, I saw operations taking place on dining room tables and the conditions at the hospitals, because the hospitals were just overwhelmed and people were just on the ground, on the hospital grounds, on the dirt. There weren't enough gloves or needles or anything that was needed. Everything was in short supply. Everything was in short supply. So food, water, there just wasn't enough of anything. And they were still unburying people from buildings and they didn't know what to do. You know, how do you handle that kind of number of people that have lost their lives? And I believe the country is still in mourning. You know, there's such a hurt and a PTSD that comes with that.
Oh my gosh. Forever, and forever.
Yeah. 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 So it was the hardest thing and the best thing at the same time, because it was so hard to see, but at the same time, I knew there's something I could do, that I could help people. So yeah. I was happy to be there.
And you know, you say there's no water, there's no medicine, there's no food, and you're right in the middle of it. I mean, you're part of it, right? And So what happened? I mean, on your I'll call it your love journey. What happened? What happened to you?
A lot of things. It changed me completely, I believe. Like, I thought I knew what love was. You know, like you said, everybody thinks they know what love is. But I decided I was going to take the love chapter. Love is patient. Love is kind. Does not envy. Does not boast. You hear it at every wedding. Your eyes kind of glaze over because you hear it so often, right? But I took one word or phrase a month and focused on it. So the first month was love is patient. And I'd been in Haiti for about a year when I decided this is where I'm going to do it and this is how I'm going to do it. And so love is patient was the first month. And I just looked for it everywhere. Love is patient. Love is patient. You know, everything that I was doing and everywhere that I went and everybody that I talked to, I just was looking for it and looking for it. And that month, if I only would have done love is patient, my life would have been changed completely. What I found out about what love is patient means changed my life. And so then the next month I could draw on it. But the funny thing is every single month, it took being hit over the head with something at the end of the month to finally understand what is love that does not keep record of wrongs, or what is love that does not anger. And so it was an amazing time. And the things that I found out just blew my mind and rocked my world.
So as you learn these things, and you know, and this is probably not a fair question, because we could probably talk about the answer to this question for the next 2.5 hours. But what did what you learn, or how did what you learn manifest itself in your life moving forward?
That's such a great question.
I told you to get great ready for question. That question.
Well, I'll tell you as an example, love is patient, right? My very first month, that this is something that has manifested itself in my life. And what I found out that is that if you put love is or love is not in front of any word, it changes the meaning of the word. So patience, you know, we think of not honking your horn if you're stuck in traffic or not getting mad because your 5-year-old can't find his shoes and you got to leave for school, right? We think of that. That's what patience is. But love that is patient is different than that. Love that is patient recognizes that this moment right here, right now is the most important moment of your life. What's in the past is in the past, and what's in the future is yet to come. This is the most important moment. And so, in recognizing that, you listen a different way and you pay attention to
No
what's being
kidding.
said with the person that you're with, right? And I'll tell you, John, I stunk at this. Like, I thought I could be in conversation, be fully engaged while I was thinking about who had a soccer game, what I was going to make for dinner,
Right,
what
right,
business meeting
right.
I had later, right? And I figured out that's impossible. It's impossible. So if I want to show love, if I want to be love to the person that I'm with, whoever it is, a person at the grocery store, your best friend, your spouse, that I need to be fully present and fully there. And when I did this, which took a lot of practice, by the way, this was not an
I'll
overnight,
bet
all of
it
a
did.
sudden I
Yeah.
can do
I
this.
can't even
Yeah.
imagine. Yeah.
Right. But when I did this, my world changed because I heard things I never would have heard. So you were talking about buckets. I kind of call them labels, right? The labels that we put on.
Sure,
And
sure.
love, there are no labels. There are no buckets. You know, we're all in one big bucket.
Right,
We're all together.
exactly,
Right. Yeah.
exactly,
Yeah.
exactly.
And so I then when I listened, truly listened, I heard things differently. And so I responded differently. And I learned that I listened a whole lot more than I talked.
No kidding. And how important is that with kids? How important is that at work? How is that? I mean, how important is that in life? And I love what you just said, is that we are all in one big bucket. And you know, my whole thing of separating people in separate buckets. Yeah, we are one big bucket. And that's one of my great missions in life, is to bring us all back together. But I wanted to share an experience that I had. When my son was in high school, which was many, many years ago, they were having a science fair, and there was this one young woman who was a friend of my son's, and you know, they're all standing in front of their science projects, and I walked up to her, and you know what? And I never forgot this. She was speaking to somebody. Now she knows who I am, right? And so I walked up to her. She did not turn her eyes off of the person she was talking to for a second. She didn't turn and do this, or she nothing, right? I mean, her presence with the person she was talking to was so clear. And I was like, wow, this woman is only 16 years old, and she's got that presence. And so when I was able to talk to her, she did the exact same thing with me. And her eyes did not wander. I mean, it was just her and me having this conversation. And this little 16-year-old woman made me feel really good. It made me feel like she was present and she was listening to me, which she was. That is really amazing. That is really amazing. Because we're always thinking, and you know, all of us are so proud of being multitaskers and how good we are at multitasking.
Right.
And of course, in the world that we live in right now, oh gosh, I can go on talking forever about all of the forces that are keeping us from being present, you know? And wow, what a wonderful lesson. What a wonderful lesson. So if we can find ourselves, do you talk about this in your book?
I do.
You
Yes.
do?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
There was another book. I think I forget who it was written by. I want to say Jack Canfield, but I don't remember. It was called The Precious Present. And you know, the whole story revolved around what is this precious present? I mean, what is it? And it was all about the precious present being the precious present, the precious now. And that's what you're saying. That's lovely.
Yeah, I love
Yeah.
that. I love that. You know, I think back to life, right? I mean, life just kind of happens sometimes. And
Yeah.
I had five kids, and they were all little together at one point in time. They were all teenagers together at one point in time. So life can be crazy, and I'm working and coaching and doing all the things. And I think about when they're little, and I had my one son Luke, who now works for NASA. He's a pretty smart kid, but
Wow.
he was 3 years old, 4 years old at the time. He would poke my arm and poke my arm. I think I went around with a permanent bruise on my arm for years because he would just poke, mom, 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 if I was on the phone, if I was whatever. And I look back and I think, man, stirring the beans or whatever it was that I was doing that was occupying my moment that I thought was so important. Here'd be Luke, mom, mom, mom. And if I would have just stopped just for a few seconds even, and looked him in the eye and said, Luke, what do you want? He probably would have said, this truck is red, and ran away. I think so often we think, oh my gosh, if I start talking to them, it's going to be this long conversation and that can't be interrupted. Well, people should never be an interruption. Your kids are not an interruption.
That's
People are
right.
the most
Right.
important thing in the world. The beans can burn. People, you don't want to burn people.
That's right. That's right. People, especially kids, but people are not an interruption. I love that. I love that. It is so hard. I'll tell you, something that just came to my mind. I had a conversation one day with a friend of mine who was a retired rear admiral of the Navy, and he was part of Top Gun, and he asked me, he says, John, who do you think wins dogfights, the young kids or us old dogs? And I said, you old dogs. And he says, why do you think that? I said, because of your experience. And he says, I'll tell you something, John, of all of the dogfights I've had in the last 10 years back then, I haven't won a single one. I said, what? He says, yep. He says, you want to know why? I said, why? He says, because of video games. I said, video games. He says, yeah, these kids growing up today, and this was 15, 20 years ago. The kids growing up these days, their brains are wired differently. And they're wired, the video games trains their brains to track multiple targets and do multiple things at the same time. Us old guys can only do one thing at a time. And it's true. You watch these kids play these video games and they can track multiple things going on. Well, it's also rewiring their brain to multitask, right? Which is contrary to what you and I are talking about. You don't want to multitask people, right? And yet at the same time, in the old days, which I'm part of, this thing is called a phone. It's called an iPhone, but it's not the phone function in it isn't even in the top 10 uses of an iPhone anymore, right? And young folks can't stand having phone conversations because they have to do one thing at a time. They would rather be texting, right, and talking to multiple people at the same time. So what you're saying, Kim, is so relevant to the world that people are not interruptions, right? And so I wonder, I mean, you and I having this conversation and sharing this is a start, but I wonder how we get back to that. And you think of social media and you think of all the technologies that are throwing so many things, at us. How do we get back to one thing at a time when it comes to people?
Right. I think that's part of the trick is that
Right?
when it comes to people, right? Instead of thinking, oh, I can only do one thing at a time, when these kids, you're absolutely right, are so used to watching reels and texting 8 people and being involved in those 8 conversations, or at least, peripherally knowing what's going on and all at the same time, doing so much at the same time. But when you're face to face with somebody, life should be different. You can treat it differently. And I think this one move, if everybody just had this one mind shift, this one move to be fully present with people, to be fully present with whoever it is you're with at that moment, to be fully engaged and fully there. Because another thing that we want, John, is we want to be loved and we want to be heard.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So
including
if we
the
could
people
just...
you're talking to, the people you're with, right? We
right,
all want.
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my
yeah.
gosh.
Yeah.
You,
So if
you
this
know,
one mind shift could happen, right? Like if we could teach kids, but adults at any age, this concept, this reality of love, the world would be a different place.
What a gift. What a gift. I mean, and I can say that because you just gifted me. I think about my grandsons and I think about my kids and, you know, just everything, right? I mean, you know, it's one of those things. Try it. You might like it. And if you like it, keep doing it.
That's right.
But try it. And oh my gosh, that is so true. And you know, it's, and you think about loneliness, and I call it an epidemic of loneliness, mm-hmm. of people who just are lonely. And you know, you hear stories, and I've read stories of people who have decided not to commit suicide because somebody paid attention to them. Mm-hmm. In a couple of cases, it was just somebody said good morning, and they realized they weren't invisible. And so the power of attention
mm-hmm.
is
Mm-hmm.
amazing, amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So and I presume that your book is chock full of these things. Because we only talked about patient.
Right. Well, I'll tell you the first thing that I figured out though is that I thought I was going to do this in a year, but there are actually 14 is's and isn'ts of love in that poem, that 2,000-year-old poem. And so it took me a little bit longer than a year, but every single one of them was so impactful. So in the book, I tell the story of what was going on that I learned that concept of love, how I finally, you know, like I said, got hit over the head with what is love that is kind? What is love that does not boast, you know, what do those things mean? And so I tell the story and so it's a fun read. First of all, I think it's funny because life can be funny and it's interesting because Haiti is interesting. Yes, every single month, month after month after month, I did not get left hanging. I didn't get, oh gosh, that one wasn't so good because every single one of them was so impactful, so important, so big.
Wow, what a gift. What a gift. Because, you know, we started off this conversation going, everybody knows what love is, right? Everybody knows what love is. And yet you went on this journey of over a year of trying to understand all of the different elements of what love is. And you really took it to heart. And that's that's another thing that you know, I just did a keynote presentation at a software conference, and the title of my presentation was Hearts, Smarts, and Connection. Mm-hmm. And my overriding for many, many years, even before I was retired, my overriding kind of valued towards life was it's all about love. It's all about love. You know, it's all about connection. And, you know, in our world over the last 20 years, technology has risen so fast, partly because of this crazy little iPhone thing, that it is, I call it brain, you know, science, data and science and all that kind of stuff. Right. And I want to see, and I think, you know, artificial intelligence may help bring us back into a renaissance of heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to be part of that. And I know you're a huge part of that. You're already part of that. But I think that there's a real opportunity here to make the world a little bit better than the day we landed on it. And it's all about love. It's all about
it is.
love. Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you've given us, You've given me a ton to internalize and think about. And all transparency, I haven't bought your book. I haven't read your book. I wanted to have this conversation first because I wanted to tell everybody that I'm going to buy your book. And well, because and you know, I kind of pride myself that this is a podcast where we don't sell things, right? But it's a podcast where, you know, my guests give the best of what they have, so you don't have to buy things, right? And but I do want to read the other 13. And I want to perhaps emulate your journey and think about one a month. That'd be really cool. That'd be really cool. Kim, this has been wonderful. Do you have anything else? Anything else you'd like to share?
I love your podcast. I love what you're doing in the world. You know,
Thank
you
you.
are making the world a better place. And I think it takes all of us, right,
It
to
takes
decide
all
that
of
that's
us.
what we want to do. We want to leave things better than the way we find them, whether it's a hotel room or life. We want to leave things better than the way we find them.
That's exactly right. Wherever you go, make the place and make the people better than when you first got there. Yeah. And it's all about love. It's all about love. So we know about your book, Kim. And how else can people learn about you and what you're doing? You have your own podcast.
I do. Love Is, funny enough, is the name of my
Yep.
podcast. The TV show Heart and Soul. And but the best way to connect with me is my name, John. I am literally the only Kim Sorrell spelled my way in the entire world, because
Oh,
my,
wow. How
I know
cool
how
is
crazy.
that?
But my last name has way too many letters. It has two E's, two R's, two L's, Sorrell. It just goes on and on. And you should see it on a passport. Kimberly, of all things, is my first name. That's a few letters. So anyway, Kim Sorrell. So on social media, my website is kimsorrell.com. I love connecting with people. Love it. I
Wonderful.
love hearing from people and helping people any way that I can, and being the one to smile and say hello. So you realize you're valuable and that you're here for a reason, and you're special and unique, and you're the only one of you. Of all the people in the world that have ever been and ever will be, you are the only one of you. You're a masterpiece. You are a one-of-a-kind masterpiece. And so love yourself while you're loving others.
And folks, she wasn't talking about me. She was talking about you. So rewind that part of it, because you know you are so unique, and you are you, and you are a gift. And okay, so Kim, and her last name is spelled Sorrelle, Sorrell. And she's the only one, so you can find everything about her. And when the results come up on Google, you're in the right place. That's perfect. That's wonderful. Folks, share this episode with three people or more. Just, you know, it's all about love. It's all about bringing more joy and more just making the world better. Kim, I can't thank you enough. I love you, and you're amazing. Thank you for what you do. Thank you for what you've done. Boy, what an amazing life. What an amazing life. And here you are. Here you are. So, thank you again for joining us.
Oh my gosh. Thank you for so much for having me. I love you too. And I love what you're doing in the world. It's incredible. And just keep it up, brother. Just keep going. Full
Kindred
steam ahead.
spirits. Kindred
That's
spirit.
right. That's right.
All right, everybody. Well, listen, thanks for joining us. God bless you, and we'll see you next time. Bye.